Over. God. Amen? Amen. Can we greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord?
Yeah. go to Muhammad's tomb, the bones in there. You go to Harry Christian's tomb, the bones in there. You go to David Koresh's tomb, the bones in there. You go to Jim Jones' tomb, the bones in there. I don't know if Sun Young Moon is dead or alive, but if you go to his tomb, the bones is still there. But early in the morning, they went to find Jesus. And they went to the tomb looking for Jesus. And there were two men there. They didn't realize they were angels. They said, "Who do you see?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus." They said, "He is not here, but he is risen. And why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" People that come to church today looking for the living amongst the dead. So we are to have some life. We are to have some joy. The Bible says we are alive in soul. We are to have a big spiritual foundation. So we are to have some life. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So just for those that don't know, if you don't pray, I'll pray for by myself. If you don't lift them up, I'll lift them up by myself. Why? Because when I look back to where he's brought me from, when I think of all the dangers he's already brought me through, I can't help but praise him. I can't help but thank him. And because you ask, you're alive. So don't act dead. Can we pray praise for that? Amen. I just hope we get that out of the way. But truly, we do bless the Lord. We thank God, amen, for all that he's doing. We thank God for being a merciful God. And we thank God for being a keeper. Many of us, if the devil had his way, he would have taken us out a long time ago. If the devil had his way, those hardships and troubles that we had, the devil would have taken us out. But I'm so glad that the Lord stood between us and the death angel. I'm so glad God stood between us and the insane demon that tried to take your mind. I'm so glad the Lord stood between us and an addiction demon that tried to take us out. He stood in between. And the song said, to be all beat up and torn down. Amen. The Bible says, in his presence is a what?
Fullness of joy.
We're not going to stop right there. It's more to that. In his presence is what?
Fullness of joy.
If you're in church today, you ought to have some joy. Lord, we thank you today for being in the house of prayer. Lord, we thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being a Savior more precious to us than all of earth's friendship ever could be. Lord, you light our ways when our ways go dim. And what I like the most, Lord, is the closer I walk to you, the sweeter you seem. And Lord, we ask you today to speak to every soul. Lord, search every heart, search every mind. Lord, those that came in trouble, Lord, we ask you for a prayer and a spirit of deliverance. Lord, those that came in bound, Lord, send an anointing to loose the captive and set them free. Lord, those that came in looking for answers, oh Lord, at a crossroad in their life, we ask you to send the word that you may order their steps through your word. Lord, those that came in and don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church, loose their ears so that they can hear. And Lord, we ask you to send the word to heal today. Lord, send the word to deliver today. And Lord, send the word to set free. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Lord, we just thank you today. They were in trouble. And this is one of the blessings that we have. When you're in trouble, all you have to do is ask the Savior to help you. And he will help you. So they went to Jesus, and all Jesus, you know, he said, a lot of times, and this is where we mess up, when we ask the Lord to help us, we be looking for God to do something great. And all God does is speak to us through his word. So we come to church. We say, I thought God was going to do something great. God said, all I have to do is speak a word. And whatever your situation is, it will come to, it will be calm and it will cease. I believe it's Mark's version of the story, because Mark said it was a great storm. But then when God sent deliverance, it was a great calm. So God sends your deliverance in relationship to your trial. You can't be in a great storm and God send a mild deliverance. You can't be in a great situation and God sends a little deliverance. A great deliverance. Our deliverance is in proportion to our trial that we go through. Many of us have given up on God because we missed the deliverance. Because we were looking for something great. But God spoke to us with a still, small voice. Stop looking for all the extemporaneous and great stuff. Let God speak to you in a small little voice. So Jesus tells them, let us go over to the other side. You with me? So it was on a certain day. Now, listen, this is what God does. When God gives us a spiritual principle, he also gives us a practical application to represent that spiritual principle. Amen? So God always gives us a spiritual application or principle, but then he gives us a natural something to recognize what he's doing. So he tells them, let us go over to the other side. Now, when he said, let us go over, it was already fixed. It was set. The devil in hell couldn't stop. Florence could have been there, backed up by Irene, backed up by whoever tore up Houston last year. But God said, let there be peace. So when he said, we're going over to the other side, let every storm come our way. But as long as Jesus speaking. Matter of fact, 1 John, the 4th chapter says, many spirits have gone out into the world. Many voices are speaking this morning. But as a child of God, you have to test. You have to try. You have to prove the spirit to see if it's of God or not. So that means every spirit that's been speaking in your situation is not of God. You have to try that spirit and find out, is the spirit of God or is it not? Some of us today have been listening to the knocks and we haven't been listening to the spirit. So instead of God stepping in to grant us deliverance, he can't deliver us because the Bible says faith coming by hearing and hearing by the
word of God.
Now I just want to ask all of you very intelligent people a very important question. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, when you get in trouble, why do you stay home? These are the intelligent people. Y'all talk to me a little bit. You're in trouble. Why do you stay home when faith coming by
hearing
and hearing by
the word of God?
By the word of God. And say, how can they hear without a preacher? But everyone, I ain't going there yet. Well, they said, Pastor, you might not understand. Right?
How can you heal without me?
So when you stay home, right, I'm just helping you out. Because you want deliverance. You can't get deliverance when you stay home.
How can you heal without me?
So when I heard the preacher on TV, now this is where your message come in. How can they preach unless they be sick?
So everybody you hear, how do you know they sick?
Don't go by the magnitude of the losses of the congregation. Because I heard Jesus say, wrong is the way. And
don't
go down here. Y'all stay with me. Watch what I said. Wrong is the way.
And what?
Many. There be that go that way.
So if being
if you went to church and you didn't get anything out of it, you went with the wrong spirit. Because the Bible says, if you're hungry and thirsty, you could be eating in the wrong place. But if you want to hear God bad enough, God will send a word to get you out of a bad place. Amen? So, all right, let's get back. So Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Now, who was he speaking to? His disciples. So the question is today, now a disciple is someone that hears Jesus' teaching, knows Jesus' word, obey and follow. That's what a disciple is. It means I heard Jesus' teaching, I obey Jesus' teaching, and I'm following his teaching. Now there's a whole lot of followers of Jesus, but they're not disciples. Because a follower will hear Jesus' teaching. We hear Jesus' doctrine, but then in the end they will do what they want to do. That is not a disciple. Because the disciple will hear, and the disciple will follow, and the disciple will do exactly what the Lord says to. And let me just read a couple of things that I wrote down about a disciple. Amen? Because a lot of us claim to be disciples. Well, are we following what he tells us to do? Are we obeying what he tells us to do? Amen. So the disciple is the Greek word matetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. And it means to be a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle required and is so committed to live by them. A disciple learns the doctrine, learn the teaching, but it's not an option. It's not a preference, but they are, can we say committed? To live by them. That is a disciple. So if you've heard Jesus teach, you know Jesus' teaching, I'm not talking about looking around the church and if somebody else or what they're not doing. The Bible says, let every man make his own calling and elections. Sure. The reason so many in church are messed up is the devil got them looking at everybody else. And they're not making their own calling and election, sure. They're looking at this one messed up and that one failed. If they did that, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to look at man when the scripture tells us, looking unto him. You're supposed to look unto Jesus. Well, why am I looking unto Jesus? Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And just to let you know what Jesus did, he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured? He went through trouble. He went through hardship. He went through all that, but he's still the author and finisher of your faith. If Jesus went through it, why don't you think you have to go through it? Because he's our author and he's our finisher. So when we get hard times, let us say, Lord, thank you. You know why? Because I know that when my struggles are too hard, when my way is too difficult, I can't deliver myself. So Jesus has to deliver me. When my troubles are overwhelming me, Lord, lead me to a rock. I said, Lord, lead me to a rock. That is. Our problem is, many of us get in trouble when we go to a rock that can't even help themselves. Lead me to a rock that's higher than me. Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lord, when my spirit is so troubled. Lord, when I prayed and I prayed. I prayed all night long. I mourned and I mourned. I mourned all night long. But my soul couldn't rest until it. Until I. That's the problem. You got to find the Lord in your situation. You got to let God help you in your situation. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep fighting till I find the Lord. So a disciple is committed. Amen. If all of my friends don't want to go to church, I honor the Lord. And I'm going to keep the Sabbath holy. I'm going to respect God. If, thank God, I'm just using this as an example so don't get no ideas. If my wife don't want to go to church, guess what? Well, how do you go to church without your wife? Because I am committed. I am a disciple. I am a follower of Christ. Then when God sees my commitment, even though she don't want to come, she'll come. So the devil picks my ideas. devil to your mind is. But if you go to church and you already know your spouse and your feelings upset, you're going to lose them. The Bible says, what does it profit a man? What does it profit to gain and the flip side, what can a man give? Well, I didn't want them mad at me. I just wonder, aren't you concerned about your relationship with God too? Amen? The scripture says, I'm all of y'all saying, Pastor, over the place. And the scripture said, you're not supposed to fear him that's able to destroy the body. Man can destroy your body, but he can't touch your soul. So you are to fear him who's able to destroy both the body and soul. And well, how did you go to hell? Because I was not permitted. I did not follow the Lord. I allowed hardships and difficulties to turn me around. Now, I don't preach it in, give our message here. But we're going to get there. Alright? Because we need to get victory. How many want victory? Preaching, sing your song. Victory belongs to who?
Jesus.
If you don't have Jesus, you don't have victory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Jesus said, in me you shall have tribulation. In the world you shall have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I have
overcome the world.
In the world you have tribulation. You know what that means when Jesus said, I have overcome the world? If you ain't in Christ, that's what you just did. You overcome the world. But our problem is we play too many psych mind games with the devil. He's been deceiving people for how many years? Since the beginning. He was deceiving people before there was even a man.
Yeah.
When he was up in heaven as the coming angel, Lucifer, he was able to deceive a third of the angels to follow him in heaven. We're not talking about in earth. We're talking about when he was in heaven. And the Bible says in Revelation, or maybe Matthew, the 25th chapter, is so many fallen demons that are innumerable. They can't even count them. But in God's infinite knowledge, he was able to pin, they were able to get a third of those angels to follow him. Now those angels that followed Lucifer, Jesus cast them down. He says, I believe that in Luke, the 10th chapter, around the 18th verse, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as what? Lightning fall from heaven. So when Satan fell, all those third of the innumerable angels that followed him became disembodied spirits. Those disembodied spirits, then listen, this is where. How many consider yourself to be intelligent? Come on, raise your hand. I didn't say you had to have a, I say you're super intelligent, just say intelligent. All right, let me ask you, how many know 1 and 1 is 2? That's all you need. 1 and 1 is 2. Don't worry about that yourself, right? I'm just saying, we're trying to represent a point. All right. The devil was able to persuade all those angels to follow him, and they were cast down. So now the devil is the son of perdition. He can't make it to heaven. All those angels that follow him, they can't make it to heaven. So you know what they say? They say, listen, if I can't go to heaven, all those saints in church ain't going to heaven either. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a false sense in their minds that make them think that God is angry with them. Then when they think God is angry with them, they're going to stop going to church. They're going to stop praying. They're going to stop reading their Bible. Why? Because the devil has a way of manipulating us. He's a deceiver of this world. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them, that? Amen. So once you stop believing, you are under Christian. What is appetizer? Somebody say his name is J-E-S-U-S. His name is
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. So the Lord asked them in the 25th verse of Luke 8. He says unto them, after he delivered them from their problems, he said unto them, where is your you are my disciple. You are my follower. You are committed to me. He said, where is your why did you doubt? Why did you believe that if I said I shall do it? Why did you believe if I spoke I shall be in the past? Where is your
faith?
Now we know Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the
substance
of things. Amen. It's an assurance of things that are not seen. Right? It's an evidence of my conviction. I don't see it, but I have a substance. I have it by faith, so I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to see it to know that God's going to do it. Amen. It's just for my faith. The elders obtained a when you're in Christ like you ought to be, you don't get no bad reports. You don't get up. That report really means testimony. They receive a good testimony. So that things, we're saying, we believe that the worlds were what? Framed by the word of God. Now we're talking about substance, right? So that things which are seen were not made out of things which do. He's qualifying what the substance is. You don't have to see it to believe it because the just walk by faith and not by sight. My substance is, if God said it, I believe he's going to keep his promises. I believe he's going to do just what he said. Amen. But let's go. Can we go to Hebrews 11 chapter? So our message today is, where's your faith if you haven't figured it out? That is our message. Let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter. All right. So verse 3 says, we through faith we understand that the world will what? We have now, God said, listen, you don't have to see it to believe it. You just have to believe it, then you will see it. You, with faith, you don't have to see it to believe it. But because I trust God, I believe God, I believe it, now I will
see it.
And the fourth verse says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a. When you're serving God by faith, you don't give God less. When you're serving God by faith, you don't give him something inferior. When you're serving God, you don't even be like Cain and give God what you want to give him. When God said, give me your best. By faith, Abel offered unto God a. What kind of sacrifice? More. If it's a more, that sacrifice is good. If it's just an excellent sacrifice, that's good. But it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained, when we say he was righteous. Well, how are you righteous? Because I gave God my all. When it was time for me to give God, I didn't give God the land. I didn't give God something that my own government wouldn't accept, but I gave God my best. And then it said, by the obtained witness that he was righteous. When you're living for God and you're doing it right, listen, man don't have to testify for you. Because who testified for Abel? God testified of his gift. Lord, help me get to a place. Well, what I'm doing, if you don't see me, you don't know nothing about it, go on and testify by my gift. And when God testifies by my gift, I'll be dead, but my word will yet be speaking. Why? Because I gave God my best. I didn't cheat God, so I made $100. I'm going to give God $9.99 because I need this thing. I'm just lying. You know, we pay tithes. I'm committed. All right, this way y'all get real close. Don't steal away. If I made $100, God, I'm going to give you $110. Because if you made $100, how much did Uncle Sam pay? 30? How much? Y'all check? God. He took it. Did he take 10%? Did he take 20%? Did he take 30%? He took about 30 to 40%. God said, I'm not going to take your money. I just want you to give it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Freely you have received, freely you have given. He said, I just want you to give. So if God has blessed me, and I make my $100, that was way back years ago when we gave me $100. No, $100 a day is like $10 really with recession and all the inflation, right? But I'm not going to cheat God and say, well, God, I can't give you all my money. Listen, if God didn't bless you, you could give him nothing. If God took your breath and your life away, what could you give him? Nothing. So God said, all I want you to do is show me your gratitude. I want you to show me that you are a committed follower. And committed follower gives all. A committed follower won't cheat. So Lord, instead of me giving you $10 out of $100, I give you $150.
Listen, when somebody puts you in a place, you gotta make a decision between Christ and something else.
repentance, you have a default. Default means it automatically goes in. So when it comes to Christ, Christ is my default. So when they give me a choice, I don't have to make a decision. I automatically go to Christ because I am committed. Shadrach and Meshach had a default. And his name was Jesus. So when Nebuchadnezzar threw him in the fire, he expected to see their demise. He expected that they were going to be burned up. But all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar stood up. He said, whoa, did we throw three in the fire? He said, but how do I see a fourth one in the fire? Shadrach and Meshach, their chains have been loosed. What we bound them with has been loosed. He said, what do I see? He said, they're walking around in the fire. This is when God is with you. Man, when God is with you, what burned up everybody else in the world, God was with you. So he was a fence all around you. He was your protection in a time of trouble. He was a, can we say a fence? Nebuchadnezzar said, whoa, you know what? This is kind of bad. Nebuchadnezzar said, now I'm on the spot. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out before I. Why? Jesus was in the... Listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When you're committed, you don't have to worry about the fire. You don't have to worry about the devil in hell. You don't have to worry about the boss. You don't have to worry about anything if God is with you. If you are committed. And the Bible says, now listen, they were bound. Not only were they bound, they had on their hats, their hoses, and their coats. Right? He said, I'm going to torture you so bad that when I throw you in the fire, I want everything to catch on fire before it gets to your body. I want to torment you. I want to burn you up. Amen. He said, when they came out the fire, even the smell of fire had not even passed to their clothes. Why? Because God was in the fire with them. Why was God in the fire? Because they were committed. They were committed. And they had faith. That is all said. I don't know what any of us may be experiencing or facing today. But don't you go anywhere without Jesus. Don't you do anything and not have the Lord with you. You might be going through the worst trial of your life. But you, listen, we can talk to Jesus. You can talk to God just like he's your best friend. So I said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a Lord, I thank you. Whatever I'm going through is a privilege to take everything to you might be going through. Take it to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we open forth. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not everything. Can we say everything? I don't know what your everything is to be, but everything to God in prayer. Where is your faith? If you have no commitment to following Christ, you're not faith. That faith in you, God is faithful, and you can trust him. Be faithful. God will make a way out of in the 16th chapter, at the end of the chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's giving them proverbs. And they don't understand the proverbs. So one of them, they begin to talk to Jesus. And they said, Lord, we don't understand what you're saying. So the Lord tells them plainly what he's saying. After he tells them plainly, they tell him, now we believe. Jesus looked at them and said, do you really believe? And that's my question today. You may say you believe, but do you? And where?